What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frieder, the club CEO here. We have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one live streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother, DJ Tank. DJ Tank, please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from.
Hey, this is your boy, DJ Tank. I'm from Mississippi, the Dirty South. Right now, I reside in H-Town, Texas, where we rock and parties. Glad to be on the show.
Awesome, brother. Super excited to have you on the show, man. This is the My DJ Story podcast. So we want to hear your story as a DJ in the industry. So take us to the beginning, man. What sparked your interest to become a DJ and walk us through your journey from the beginning leading to where you are today?
Well, actually, as a young kid, you know, I would actually, while my parents wasn't at home after school, I would put a speaker in the window, not really knowing that I was actually DJing for the crowd. And as I got older, I was actually into just being at the party and throwing parties. So as I got into my teens and got into high school, I grew interest in one of my homeboys who was a DJ, which is DJ Greg Street, who is at V103 in Atlanta right now. So he would always rock team parties at the YMCA in the Fifth Street Community Center. So that's when I really grabbed it. So as years passed on, as I got an adult, this kind of went away in my life. I officially went and bought me some equipment when I stopped using the DVD players and old mixers that I would find, you know, in pawn shops. So I bought some American audio CD players. And this was like back in 1998. And so that's when I really felt like I was a DJ. Well, I would say I'm an official DJ from that point, not really understanding how to fade, you know, how to transition from one song to the other. Then I started listening to DJ Jelly and the Oom Camp production and how they would put out the mixtape and how they would blend. And then that just kind of transitioned through my life, man. And at one point in 2015, I stopped DJing. And so the reason why I stopped DJing was I decided that I wanted to graduate from a DJ to a club owner. So I opened up a spot. And what I saw in the industry, that DJs wasn't getting paid what they deserved. So I wanted to be that club owner that paid other DJs instead of me DJing myself. And after that journey, I moved to Houston and I decided to come out of retirement. And right now I work in different type of venues, doing private parties, doing restaurant clubs, graduations, coming up Father's Day weekend, I'm doing a boat ride. So I'm actually out rebranding myself, playing a little bit of everything. You know, as an old school DJ, I just want to be versatile and I just enjoy it. I'll never retire again. It's the best thing for all of us in the platform that you're giving us to present ourselves.
Wow, brother. That's a really amazing intro. It seems like you've done a lot throughout this journey and you've learned a lot, man. I'm super excited to dive deeper into your story, see what things we can get out of your story to help other DJs in their journey. So talk to us a little bit about some of the learning lessons that you got throughout the journey. From being a DJ, from managing clubs and doing your own club, to doing your own private events and such like that. Talk to us about the entirety of your journey and some of the lessons you pulled out of it that is helping you now as a DJ to flourish in this industry.
Well, one thing I would say, as a DJ, you know, find your niche, be you, be the way that you are. Don't necessarily follow and be what another DJ does. Learn from another DJ. You know, and one of the bigger issues now, because back in the day, there wasn't a bunch of controllers and learning how to DJ wasn't on YouTube. You know what I mean? So you actually have to hear the beat to the music to be able to rock, or you listen to other DJs and how they did things and you wouldn't like them and you find your own niche. One of the things that I still deal with, and I think most DJs deal with now, is pay. You know, and so get what you're worth. You know, don't, because there's not any gigs and people are offering you minimal pay, don't accept it. You know, it gets to a point where you feel like I'm gonna work with this person because there's a potential. It never happens that way. And one of the biggest lessons I've learned, if you walk away, they'll come back. They'll come back because in their mind, they think DJs come dime a dozen. But what they don't realize is real DJs don't come dime a dozen. You know, because a real DJ is more than playing music. You know what I mean? So that's some of them. And I could probably go on and on about many other things. Like making sure you upgrade your equipment, invest in your business, you know, and build good relationships.
I love it, man. You truly understand the business of DJing. You know, a lot of DJs, they get into the game, they understand the skill set of it and the hobby of DJing. But when it comes to the business side, they lack. So that's why we're here today, to give that education specifically on the business side. And I'm super excited to dive deeper into that as well. So what we're going to do, we're going to jump into a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to dive deeper into some of those business lessons that you learned, okay?
Absolutely.
And we're back with the My DJ Story podcast. We're here, my brother DJ Tank, and he's telling an amazing story about his journey as a DJ. DJ Tank has a lot of wisdom and knowledge on the business of DJing. So he's going to dive deeper into his story about some of the learning lessons he's learned on the business side. You mentioned about, you know, being able to negotiate effectively in regard to getting paid properly. It's an important skill that DJs need to understand. You cannot just settle for a super low price, or you're not going to be able to operate profitably or in a way that you think that's going to be worth your time and your effort and energy of lugging over your equipment over to there, doing the event and relying on a low paying possible tips, if any. You have to understand how to price yourself and then how to get those sales to land the gigs that are going to pay you what you can leverage and get that's meaningful for you and your business. So talk to us a little bit more about some of the things you've done and some of the business lessons that people should learn to be able to succeed as a DJ from a business perspective?
Well, one thing I would say is just don't fall for, hey, you're going to be here more than one night. You know, determine what your worth is. If you say your worth is $200 an hour, just that's your worth. You know what I mean? Regardless of how long you've been, if your skill set, but keep in mind, you know, what type of equipment you have. If you go in there and your speaker burst, what is it going to cost you? You know, but at the same token, weigh out what the market in your area has done. It is a really good idea if you can find, you know, good DJs that doesn't mind, like I had to do when I came to Houston. You know, at first I was like, man, I'm new to the market. How can I get in? How do I price myself in the market? And I come to find out that a lot of DJs here was charging really cheap prices. And one of the mistakes that I made was to say, after 20 years, let me charge what they charge. So I stopped. You know what I mean? And I think that was a bad mistake on my part. So being able to reach out to other DJs and get an idea of what's in the market. Experienced DJs, you know, tap in with some of the DJ coalitions. Is probably the number one spot that you can go to where there's communication about pay versus just an individual DJ. Because if you walk up to this DJ on his set, or when he's not on his set, you know, he's really not going to tell you exactly what they're paying him. But if you're in a DJ coalition, you have good relationships, DJs can gather themselves in a market and make sure that everyone is getting paid within a range. And so that kind of cuts down the club owners and the who really just trying to look at the DJ and not show us respect.
Man, this is some gems. And it's so simple, so subtle that people might not realize how important what you're saying is, man. And I get it, man. It's super important that people are networking and building relationships with people in the market, in your market specifically, so that way you can understand where the price sensitivity is on what you're trying to sell, which is your DJing service. If you don't understand what the market pricing are, you might market to price too high or too low, and you're missing out on opportunities because you don't know what everyone else is charging. And by being in a coalition and understanding other DJs' market rate, you'll be able to really sell to the customer a proper rate that you feel comfortable doing. And on top of that, what you need to do when you're marketing your services, understand what you're providing and understand why there's a certain price to it. If you're coming with just your DJing, this is the price. If I'm coming with DJ and lighting, this is my price. If I'm coming with DJ, lighting, photo booths, all this other stuff, you have to have a package that's priced according to what you're bringing to the table, and you have to have confidence to sell it to your audience and your people that are booking you, so that way they feel confident that that you're selling them at a price that makes sense. Because if you're going in and you're not sure about your pricing, they're not going to feel comfortable giving the money. Even if it's the same amount of money, the person that sells it with more confidence gives the person that's spending the money more confidence that they're making a good buy. So you want to do that for your audience and know your pricing, know your offering, and know exactly what the market rate is so you can compete in the marketplace effectively.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I look at it from a standpoint of a real estate market. You know, when you're getting ready to sell a home, you know, in order to price that home, you got to know what similar homes are actually being sold for, not being listed for. So you have to understand, if you are not a radio personality, your fee may not be able to match what a radio personality's fee would be, because they have the weight of that radio station. But that also doesn't mean that a venue or a promoter won't pay you, because you have the same exact skill, if not better. They just have the weight of the radio station. So don't necessarily cut yourself short in that aspect of it.
Yeah, man, you have to understand your value, and that goes with supply, demand, your skill set, and the fact that people want you or if they don't want you. And that's about the leverage you have. You know, if you have, you know, 4 or 5 gigs all coming at you at the same time, you have the leverage to say, hey, these people are charging more for the same day, same and same time. So you can say, hey, if you want me to book, to be booked for this gig, you got to at least beat these other people. And that's leverage. So by putting yourself out there, getting your name known and people demanding you as a DJ, that's how you get the leverage so you can charge higher pricing. It's not just you made up the price in the middle of the air. You just are able to evaluate the different alternatives in regards to who you want to sell your time to. And that's what you're doing as a DJ. You're selling your time because you're offering a service. And DJing is a very important service that's being used at weddings, graduations, parties, so many different things. And I really appreciate you really going in on the subtle things that people are not realizing, how to market and brand yourself and then also sell yourself as a DJ, which is super important, man. We like to talk about brand here on the My DJ Story podcast. So please tell me a little bit about what it means to be DJ Tank. How'd you get the name, and what does that branding mean to you?
Well, I mean, some people would tell me I got the name Tank because at one point I got a little overweight. Another portion of that crew would tell me, you know, before I actually DJed in the club, I was a security guard. And during that area, gang, you know, violence was really bad in the city of Gulfport, Mississippi, to the point where you couldn't even wear a hat. So when things were going on, when we had to actually move people out of the club, they would say, I rode into them like a tank. So, you know, as I thought of a name and people just was calling me Tank, so I said, why not just become DJ Tank? You know what I mean? So it's stuck with me for a while. And I added the 228 on my social media because that's the area code of the Mississippi Gulf Coast that I was in, where the people there actually gave me that name.
I love it, man. It's good. You stick true to your roots, where you're from and your place. But then also you have a name that was given to you by your audience. And if your audience is giving you that name, then there must be something that they saw in you that want to attach to that branding. And it just all aligns and it's very organic. And you can run with it. And the people love it because they help you create it. And then just builds that whole community around who you are as DJ Tank. So I love it. I'm a fan. And I really appreciate you sharing that with us, man. Tell us a little bit about what it means to be DJ Tank, though. How do you differentiate yourself from other DJs? What experience are people getting from you that they should desire, as opposed to going with other DJs or just be able to stand out as your own brand? What's different about you?
One thing about me is, and I alluded to it earlier, I just stick to what I am. I consider myself a party DJ. My energy is like out the roof, but not overbearing. You know, so when I come to the table, I'm going to bring an energy. One thing that I always do, if I am not at a gig, I get out in the community or the city that I'm in and I meet people. So the same people that you see following me on social media, if they're in my area, I'm going where they are. So they see my energy. They see me where they are. I'm just not this DJ that's not out having a good time with them if I don't have a gig. So, you know, my tagline is just, you know, just blowing the party up with hits. You know what I mean? So when I'm out, if I'm not gigging, I know what the people need. I know what the people want. I'm not paying everything that's on the radio. I just want to pump the party up, you know, and blow it up with number hits. And these are the hits from different genres of music. Depends on the crowd I have. So to sum it up, what DJ Tank brings is just the hype, the passion, and the love for being an awesome DJ.
Awesome, brother. And who's your ideal client? Like, tell me, like, where would they live? What kind of event? And, like, what's the budget range of your ideal client?
Well, right now, it's a variety. You know, I've done corporate events for Home Depot, and, of course, their budget is much larger. Right now, I think my medium client, they're looking at, you know, $125 to $150 an hour. But then you have, you know, these small venues that some people, I actually go and work to help them. So, you know, I want to give back to them as long as they don't feel like I'm just a cheap DJ. I want them to understand they just don't have a DJ. They have someone that actually be viable to their business. And if we can have that mutual respect, I really don't mind giving a reduction as long as we have a long-term agreement and what I will call a ladder agreement, which means as I help you build, it can exceed that $500 for 4 hours, you know. So, but I'm really reasonable. I want to help people, business succeed, because a lot of promoters and a lot of bar owners, they really don't understand what a DJ. They just think it's a lot of people playing music. So I'm just here for the people.
That's great, man. And one thing that I want to pull out of that is the fact that you said sometimes you sacrifice short-term income for a long-term relationship. And I think that's super important that you understand how to leverage that and how to use that within your negotiation and the way that you're building within your relationships with the people that you're being serving and you're serving with your DJ industry's career. So like, I think that relationships are super important because that relationship can take you and give you so much more opportunity than the difference between $100 or $200 or whatever you're trying to negotiate, that the value of that relationship, sometimes you have to evaluate because not every relationship is fruitful, but you have to evaluate if that relationship is worth investing into. And that's when you're able to do things for free or do things for a discounted price and understand what that relationship is going to bring to your career and your process as a DJ building, you know, a brand and a company. So I'm glad that you pointed that out because these are the subtle things that make you stand out and make you an amazing DJ and doing so well within your journey, man. You know, I would love to hear, you know, what are some pieces of advice that you have for DJs out there that are trying to make it in the industry, but are seeing difficulties and having trouble, you know, what are some things that you can do as a DJ that they can do to help them out of tough times?
Well, I mean, when you think about an attorney, okay, so when you think of an attorney, that sometimes they take cases pro bono. So if I walk into, for an example, a Starbucks franchise, and I notice that they have a gathering of people and they have music playing, I may want to approach that Starbucks franchise owner to do a gig for pro bono, maybe for 1 hour, 2 hours, with the understanding if I can satisfy his crowd. So when you're a DJ, just like I did when I got in this market in Houston, it was very difficult. So you have to actually get out there with the people. You got to find out what the people are liking. You got to solve a problem. If you walk into a club or a venue, try to see where they're lacking and then approach it that you're going to solve a problem. You know, so in order to solve a problem, you got to see that there is a need. So that's one major advice that I would give any DJ. And just stay on your game, practice every day, become the best. You know, every day, spend hour after hour after hour, and just be ready so you don't have to get ready when Starbucks, that major client, give you that opportunity.
Yeah, man. A lot of times opportunities come at a time and a place that you never knew would have happened. So you have to always be ready so you can capitalize and jump on those opportunities and already be ready for them when those opportunities occur, man. And that's, you know, I've interviewed over 150 DJs already on this show, and this is how it happens. This is how opportunities happen. People are just in the right place at the right time, and they were prepared and they took action on the opportunities that came in front of them. So do whatever you can right now to prepare yourself at any moment to be ready to accept and dominate on an opportunity that comes your way. And that's what DJ Tank has done over and over again. That's what allowed him to get to where he's at in his journey, man. Brother, this is so valuable. I'm learning so much from your story, and I'm sure our audience is as well, man. I'd love to hear, you know, what are some things that you're focused on now, and how could myself, the club, and our community help and support you?
Well, I've actually, I don't know if you can see, I just rebranded my logo. And so right now I'm in the process of actually just creating new logos, being able to go out, I'm getting t-shirts printed, making sure I'm staying active in just community stuff. Here in Texas, that may be, you know, like when the George Floyd situation happened, I was in the midst of it, in the middle of the pandemic. And just kind of putting yourself in wherever you are within at least a 10-mile radius. Find out what's in that area. So, and just kind of making myself visible on all platforms. I must admit, I am much more busy on Instagram, because when I moved to Houston, the majority of the 3,000, which is minimal followers, is right within a 10-mile radius of where I'm at. So, I just want to be able to utilize your platform to expand myself, increase my followers, and be able to travel and do what I do best. And I just appreciate the opportunity of you giving me, you know, having the opportunity to be on your platform at this time.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate that, man. You know, we're really trying to work hard to help DJs in many different ways. So the podcast is one way that we're sharing the stories of DJs so people can know the people behind the music. And, you know, the podcast is one of our assets, but our app and the community that we're building with the club app is super tremendous. And we want to help DJs build their brand, get more bookings, and get tips and donations from people in real time as they're live streaming from in-person events. And we're super excited to be venturing on this journey with the club. And thank you for being here on this podcast and being a part of our community, because without you and the DJs that are doing such a great job, none of this would be possible. So we appreciate what you do for people and people that are attending these parties and events and the service that you are providing. So all honor to you, man. We appreciate you. And thank you for everything you're doing, man. At this time, you know, I would love to hear, you know, what are some things that people need to be focused on right now as a DJ to best themselves to prepare, you know, as we're opening back up into the real world with, you know, the pandemic, you know, seemingly coming to a conclusion? What should DJs be focused on right now before we jump into our lightning round?
I actually would just say, and I just alluded to it, just be ready, you know, brush up your skills every day. You know, I've read a book by Daniel Cole, and he talks about how your top athletes, your musicians, how they do. They become so great, not because they spend a whole day practicing. So take your time, if it's 30 minutes a day, and perfect a mix. Perfect whatever skills you need to do. Do it in short segments, and then bring it all together in one whole. So when you get that big gig, you are actually ready to do it. Also, I will say, go out into some of the venues if you don't have any gigs and see what's changing, what's new, because the business is coming. The business is coming.
Awesome, brother. Some really great advice, man. At this time, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
We ready.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Right now, I'm working with a DDJ SX2 on Serato DJ Pro. Also do video.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Man, I had to really go with my homeboy, DJ Greg Street, because of a personal relationship we had when I was a teenager. I still admire his success and what he's doing at V103 in Atlanta.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
Well, man, there's been so many different parties. So I really can't name one, but I can say the why to all of them is it's actually getting the crowd involved. And when they come to say, I had a really good time. And after that, they either post something on social media that you won't be disappointed, or they refer other people. So that's when I know I done did a great job.
Name some of the best places to party in your city.
Man, it's so many in H-Town, but you know, you got 5150, you got Sucking Good, Crawfish and More, and Katie. You got the Turkey Leg Hut. Man, it's so many. You got everything that's going on in Third Ward. You got the address. Man, you got everything on Dixie Avenue, the whole Third Ward jumping. So it's just so many spots in Houston, man. Private parties are always jumping. Check out Kima, you know, down there going towards Galveston. Awesome city, man.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
Well, during the pandemic, you would go to live stream and all of a sudden it would cut off. You know, it would only let you go right when people was really getting in or you was getting in your mix. So being able to have a platform where all DJs, professional DJs that can actually stream from on a specific length of time, just like D-Nice did, you know, during the pandemic. You know, we all want to be able to do that.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Man, I'm going to tell you, I got the shout out to DJ Tony T back in Gulfport, Mississippi. Man, some of the old school cats in Gulfport, Mississippi, DJ Sergeant Rock, DJ Chestain. Man, I had to go back there because that's where my roots. DJ Iceberg, DJ Ace, DJ Al Reese, DJ T Swan. The whole crew at Jay-Z 94.5 and round the back here in Houston, man. There's a lot of DJs around here. DJ 4Ounce. I'm still building relationships with some of the cats around here. Man, there's just so many. I had to keep going. I might need to write them down. But I had to start with the ones where I began myself back in Mississippi.
Awesome, brother. We look forward to hearing their stories on the show one day. And any DJ that's interested in being on the show can do so at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
I tell you what, I'm here in the Houston, Texas areas. Follow me on Instagram at djtank228, Twitter, djtank228. And you can find me on Facebook at djtank. Or the DJ Tank, DJ Tank.
Awesome, brother. This has been an amazing interview. I learned a lot, and I'm sure our audience has learned a lot as well. Everyone, please follow my brother, DJ Tank. He's an amazing DJ out of Houston that's doing a phenomenal job and really passionate about this DJing game. So we really appreciate you, brother, and we look forward to seeing you in the club.
Thank you. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the My DJ Story podcast. If you haven't already, please join our community by downloading the Club app for free in the Google Play and App Store today. While you're there, do us a huge favor by giving us a 5-star rating and shoot us a message on Instagram telling us you did. I'd love to send you a free My DJ Story podcast t-shirt as a token of our appreciation. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the club.